This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs the Playbook, and we are at NBA All-Star Weekend, and I'm with the All-Star basketball player getting ready for the celebrity basketball tourney itself, the Grammy nominated singer and songwriter, the incredible Walker Hayes.
Man,
welcome to the Playbook.
What an intro. I've never been introed as a basketball player.
How cool is that? Position are you going to be playing tonight?
I'll probably play like three, you know, spot shooter. I'm not quick enough to like run the point or anything, and I'm not big enough. There's some big guys. So, yeah, three is my spot. But my team was pretty solid. It was pretty chaotic last night during the run through, but yeah.
Who's your coach?
My coaches are 50 Cent and Shannon Sharp. And I didn't even
Shannon's
meet them.
A good friend. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you like, yeah.
Make sure you tell Shannon we're friends.
I'll tell him you said, hey.
50 has no idea who I am.
Well, me neither.
He's going to after his MVP.
Man, there you go. Honestly, it was just weird. I'm not around that many famous people, you know, and so I just loved meeting everybody that I could and asking them what they do, you know, and what their creative gift is and stuff. So that was the coolest part last night.
You know, I ran Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment, the sports agency.
Oh, yeah?
And then Warren Moon, who we represented, became my partner. And I realized through musicians, entertainers, obviously athletes, that there's a certain frequency.
Oh, yeah.
And a common denominator. And so when you meet all these people, as you build your brand within that community, you'll notice that there's a certain commonality.
There's a thing.
There is. And you have it.
I hope I'm not the first. Yeah. You're like, hey, after this, you're like, dude, you don't have the thing.
No, you but, do. You oh, it's do. Cool. And it's the desire that you must be what you can be.
Mm.
And by utilizing that desire to know your individuality, your own creative being that you are, instead of what I say being a human doing, you're a human being.
Ah, love that.
Where did that desire come from? Because you can't get to the level that you're at, even though you have the humility that just oozes out of you. But I know you have a desire that you must be what you can be within your own occupation. Do you know where that comes from?
I mean, I can take a guess. You know, I don't really know. You know, my dad was a huge influence on me. Big attitude guy. I mean, he had 100, literally like 100 songs or ditties, you know, that he made, ATTITUDE, you know, and attitude is everything. And you know, he preached that to me. But I also just kind of watched, you know, I observed him more than he and I like actually hung out. But I've never met anybody who got up with such a great attitude despite whatever, you know, circumstantially was hindering his line of work. He was a realtor and, you know, market. I watched it fluctuate. You know, I watched my brothers get in and out of it. But I don't know, man. I mean, I think it kind of maybe started just watching him as an example. But also, I you know, since I've had some success in the music industry, so many people have asked me, why didn't you quit? Or, you know what makes you get up? Or what's your goal? And, I think maybe that common denominator you said, you put it so eloquently, and it sounds awesome, and I wish I could tell everybody that was my answer, but at some level, I think I'm kind of crazy. Like, there's a part of me who won't settle, you know, or stop or be done, and it's not an anguish, it's not a torturous, I will never be done, it's a very peaceful, there's more, you know. If you ask my team about songwriting, I am 100% focused on the song I'm writing now. The one that I just wrote, doesn't matter. I'm glad everybody likes it. If you didn't, it's all right. I'm pretty accepting of failure. I'm very good. I think one of my biggest gifts is I'm okay at failing. It doesn't stick with me long. I'm a goldfish, like the Ted Lasso guy. But no one, you know, I didn't grow up saying I want to be one. I just amp, you know, it just didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Where it would bother some people. I know I'm rambling here.
No, it's
here,
awesome.
But...
So I've been around some great musicians in many different genres, from Little John to even Michael Jackson, Prince, a variety of guys. And I have a question from being around those guys. Do you keep something on your nightstand just in case?
Ideas. Yeah. I have my name on my phone is Purple Haze.
Really?
Yeah. You ever talk to Hendrix?
I do want to see the Marley movie, speaking of
it. Oh, I know. I just saw the trailer. That looks amazing. But yeah, I have a ongoing text chain, to myself that I'm constantly adding to. And a lot of time, middle of the night, they're either really good or they're really bad. The next morning I'm like, this isn't as good as it felt. But I don't want to lose. That's a fascinating thing to me is, I wonder how many, as those artists, I wonder how many massive ideas have been lost in the abyss that could have been Let It Be, or the big jams that they just weren't, written down, and you're like, where did they go? So somebody used to tell me if they're good enough, they won't go away, but I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
I think
that
you better...
Yeah, I was
your voice. Yeah,
I was blessed to go to Prince's house because Warren played quarterback for Minnesota Vikings, and he was a Warren Moon fan.
I mean, I don't know him, but I know who Warren Moon is.
So
yeah.
I was so intrigued because he said, "Like, I keep this pad of paper because we're older, right? I keep a pad of paper by my thing." And it was funny because he said, "Yeah," he goes, "because when stuff comes through me, Dave," he says, "I don't want Michael Jackson to get it first."
Yeah. That's genius.
Really awesome.
I love that.
One of the other things that, being around celebrities, athletes, entertainers, and even billionaires, is that the biggest challenge becomes their love for their occupation, their love for their creativity, and the love that I know you have. Just in the first 5 minutes I met you, you mentioned a certain class of citizen like 10 times, and it's called your family.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
And you saw my bracelet with my kids on it. Like, I can get one of those.
I do.
And then
yeah.
my other buddy showed you the shark bracelet. You're like, I can get that for
my
kids. As you get bigger in your influence and you have more opportunities, how are you planning on making sure that you prioritize that opportunity to spend time with your family when people, like, I speak around the world, and the price kept going up and up and up.
Yeah.
And if somebody would told me that I would turn down the amount of money that I turned down to be with, my 13-year-old to play golf or to watch his flag football game or dance, even worse, like cheerleading competition.
Right.
Are you making a plan now? Because you're going to continue to grow. Are you making a plan now to give a non-negotiable amount of time, or how are you going to deal with your priority of your family?
Yeah, it's praise the Lord. It's been simple early on in my success because as soon as we hit it big, I disappeared for 6 weeks and I couldn't do it. I just knew that was not the greatest option for my kids' future. For me to just be absent, it didn't matter. We would rather been poor, and me be present than me be sending them money. Basically, I remember there was a week where I was like, y'all just live in this house, that I pay for, and I don't even get to sleep there, so my family goes with me on the road, and it's an insane setup, and I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm with them so much that it might harm them. I might be damaging. I really do. And I try to, this is a question I ask and think about every single day. Every single day of my life, I think of my motives in saying yes to a gig or missing an opportunity to hang with a kid every day. And I think that awareness is a gift, just to even be thoughtful of it. But yeah, I mean, I consider I think God has given me a family. They're in my house. They live with me. They're the first people I influence. And sadly, I think the temptation is to go out into the world and dance for everybody and then come home and give my family the leftovers. And so my attack to what you're saying is to try to daily remember they're right here. They're who I can touch first, you know, is what can I show them that can help them in life later. And it's not to go put your dream before your wife. It's not to go put your dream before your child. You know, it's that kids are a blessing and that relationships matter more than that dollar bill or that relevance, you know, that you're, that empty space in your heart needs to fill, you think. But trust me, you know, I feel like, you know, on our deathbed, a lot of what we're chasing after is just not gonna matter, you know. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, for me, and experiencing that myself with four kids and
the
same wife for 26 years.
Yeah.
I know that the joy that I have of missing out is because of my true joy of being home.
Right.
And the one thing I wish somebody could have pressed upon me. There's some things that are hard to explain to someone, like what it's like to be married. You get these young kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or what it's like to have kids. Right? You can't explain that.
Because the explanation is it's terrible, but do it.
Yeah.
You know?
But I wish I could tell people that you get so much benefit when you tell people, like, I was at the Super Bowl, now I'm at the NBA All-Star Game. And I was with the president of the Niners, who's someone I do a lot of work
nice.
With.
Yeah.
And on Friday, I was at his party, and he's like, "Hey, Dave, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going home to be with my family."
Yeah.
And his answer was, "Can I come with you?" But like,
yeah.
I was surprised. I was always, when I ran Lee Steinberg especially, I felt like, man, people are going to respect me that I don't care. But they actually respect me more. Like, I'm leaving after these interviews.
Right.
And I'm going home because it's a holiday weekend, and I have my family, especially my 13-year-old son, waiting for me.
Right.
And I will have the joy of missing out of watching you play right. your game
yeah.
to, you know, get well, my butt kicked it. By my 13-year-old.
You'll have way more fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, to press upon you, because I have all the faith in the world, that faith that we're, you know, loved and protected
most
of all by our family.
Yeah.
And don't decide to prioritize things that you know are not the things that should be prioritized. Leading into how important, we talked about the wisdom that we gain from success without, or sometimes paying the dummy tax, but faith is really important to you as
so
well.
So much.
So yeah. You know, we share that. You just understood it at a younger age than I did.
I'm a new believer.
Are you too?
Am I. Yeah, I think I'm like 3 and a half, you know, and born again.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus saved me years, you know, but it's massive to me.
And for me, it was my wife that was the catalyst for me. When I came home, actually with Little John, from being at the Grammy Awards, messed up out of my mind. And knowing that this was my dream girl from the fourth grade who's telling me that she's leaving because she doesn't with my kids because she doesn't want to watch me die.
Mm.
And I need to take stock in who I was.
Yeah.
That was the catalyst for me to have faith.
That
and
can,
then my mom, when I lost over $100 million, I told my mom, "I don't believe in God." And she said to me, "Son, you believe in God, you just believe in the wrong God."
Yeah, oh man.
And
yeah,
those are the things. Were there a couple moments or one moment that accelerated you?
There were many moments, and I'd say you know, the two largest for me, I'm 8 years sober, so you know, alcohol was a problem for me since I was 13. I mean, I took a sip and all of a sudden I went from a shy kid to funny, and I would talk to girls, you know, immediately. It was just like bam. So that was a big problem for me. But I mean, if I had to narrow it down to two of the most powerful things that happened to me that honestly just led me to self-reflect and go, dude, I need a savior, you know, I need help, because I am the dangerous one. I'm the mess. It's not, you know, I think I did a lot of my life point fingers, even at like church hypocrisy and things like that. But I think what woke me up was two things. One was Lainey and I lost our seventh child. She was a stillborn. And, you know, I've never felt so helpless. I mean, just so downright, just as a man, you know, I think up until then I would have said, yeah, I can do anything. I can handle anything life throws at me. No big deal. Like I told you earlier, failure is no big deal. Whatever. Let's move on. You know, got it from my dad. Attitude's great. Whatever. Sky's falling. No, it's not. I'll hold it up, you know? And when we lost Oakley, I just didn't know. You know, I mean, it completely wrecked me. I couldn't make my wife smile. Obviously, couldn't save my kid. Couldn't look my father-in-law, mother-in-law in the eye. You know, I just felt like such a failure as a father. And so that wrecked me. And then began, you know, I began to try things like, oh, we're going to go on the road. We're going to make it about doing good, you know, and people and stuff. And I could do that for 6 minutes. And then I would become, you know, narcissistic and selfish. And then I'd want to, you know, jump off the wagon. And so really that was a turning point for me going, there's no eternity here inside here. I can't be good. I can't do good. I can't even want good for longer than 30 seconds. I need salvation. I need someone to love me despite that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was my need for a savior. But a guy named Craig changed my life. And this guy, Laney and I just had our sixth kid. I was working at Costco, raging alcohol. Fell asleep with some type of drink in my hand every single night, multiple years. But this guy named Craig, he provided my family with a vehicle. He came near us at a point in our life where we were used to people going the other direction. And he never preached. He is a pastor, but he never was like, hey, let me tell about Jesus.
Yeah.
Honestly, he just did Jesus. He just was Jesus. You know, God spoke to me through Craig's love, just unconditional love for me and my family. He fed us, and he gave us this van. And as I reflected on his kindness toward us, that unconditional love, there was no other explanation, you know, to me than, hey, this dude might actually know Jesus. You know what I mean? It was that kind of thing. And so that's kind of what got me, you know, those are two of the high points that got me where I am. As far as faith is concerned, but mostly it's just knowing myself. And you know, in this world we live in, you know, you talk about the temptations or the desires for, I'm insecure at the core, okay? And I've got to evaluate each motive, and not without Jesus, I'm probably going to go try to fill it up other way, and I still do. You know, that's why I need his forgiveness. That's why I need what he did on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, I that was necessary. This is gruesome and crazy and wild, but I need that. So that's kind of where I am.
And I love that perspective, and it comes through in your music, which is impactful. And you probably even realize how much you impact people through your co-creation.
Of what co-creation you do. Is a great word.
And,
yeah.
You know, you're going on tour, new songs, new tour. Want to finish up on a positive perspective note. What are you looking forward to in the new tour and, you know, sharing your soul with people to hopefully influence, impact, and provide them a better place to be?
You know, again, I mean, honestly, going back, I love living that life with my family. I'm not out there by myself. I'm with them. I try to share my family in order that it brings hope somehow. I want people to somehow do what I did to Craig, somehow look at us and by the Holy Spirit see Christ in us somehow, because I'm not Jesus, but he is inside us. I hope that reflects towards people. But the truth of that part of my life, the touring life, is it's the most exciting part of my work. The rest of, I love to write songs. The business of being like famous, award shows, or weird stuff. Yeah,
they pay for that shit.
Exactly. And what's funny is I love it. As much as I hope the fans love it, I friggin' love that hour and a half with them. It is absolutely what I was born to do, I guess. That moment, you know, with my band, from the huddle, you know, prayer to the music that starts the show to the end, that is just, it's ecstasy. I mean, it's insane. It's almost like a worship service. And so I'm really pumped to get back out there and taste that again. And And I'm just super grateful, you know, to share that. Again, the fact that my family gets on a bus with me on Wednesday and I don't say bye, we actually love getting on the bus, saying hey to the driver again, you know, getting out there with the truck drivers and the crew. So I love that about tour. That's what I'm most excited about getting back. When the last tour ended, we were kind of depressed, man. It was like football season ended. We're like, what do we do on the weekends? Like, we don't have this, like, well, sense of purpose.
As a Tennessee Titan fan, your seasons end early lately.
It's rough. Point. And now Derek's gone. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
There'll be new ones as they will be songs for you.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything that you do. And everybody, it's a story of wisdom and faith to allow you to have the inspiration to be what you must be, but you can't forget who made you who you are. Mm. And it's our family, our faith, and our wisdom that put us here today with the incredible Walker Hayes.
Nah.
This is David Meltzer looking for an incredible NBA celebrity all-star game. We got the three-point here my right. Check him out as well.
Let's go.
We're going to catch him on tour. Hopefully he's coming out to the West Coast. They enjoy country music out there as well. Walker Hayes, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, David.
Incredible. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.